to side.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, good morning and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. A warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday live hosting and broadcasting from Radio Sai Studios. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, and at the very outset, dear listeners, as always, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams at the lotus feet of the listener and the voice of the heart and soul of Radio Sai Global Harmony, that is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And I thank him profusely for giving me this opportunity to host a segment in his radio Thursday, week after week. Well, the time right now in our studio is 11 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and the weather and climate in the ashram is very cool and pleasant. It's the month of December. Today is 20th of December and it's winter here. And more importantly, it's the festive month of Christmas. 25th of December, we will celebrate the advent of Jesus Christ. And today in the segment of Soul Inspiration, I'm going to read out for you an article which is there in radiosai.org website, which is on the festival Christmas. The article is named as A Sai Christmas. So it goes like this. The Christmas season is here again with its celebrations and festivities, Christmas parties, Christmas goodies, beautiful decorations, Christmas presents and Christmas cards. But dear friends, Christmas is much more than these. In fact, none of these can be called the true celebration of Christmas. What then is the true meaning of Christmas? This has been explained by Swami, who has given us many revelations and insights into the story of the birth of Christ and his teachings. Let's go back to the story. Just before Jesus was born, a decree went out from the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus, that each one must report to the city of his ancestors to be taxed. So Joseph and Mary, who were the parents of Jesus Christ, journeyed from the city of Nazareth to Bethlehem. Mary rode on a little donkey while Joseph walked beside her. It was late at night on the second day of their long trip when they arrived in Bethlehem. Every inn in the city was full and they could find no place to stay. Finally, one of the innkeepers, looking at Mary's pale and tired face, took pity on them and offered them shelter in a stable behind the inn. Gratefully, Mary and Joseph shared the humble little resting place with the animals. That night, Jesus Christ was born. Mary tenderly wrapped the little infant in soft clothes and laid him in a manger on the soft, sweet-smelling hay. Jesus was an embodiment of humility, and his birth in a stable was perhaps a sign of the great humility that marked his life. On one of the hills outside Bethlehem, some shepherds, huddled over a small fire, were keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel suddenly appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around. At first, the shepherds clutched each other in fear, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For this night, a Savior has been born for all mankind. He is Christ the Lord, and this is the sign by which you will find him. He will be wrapped in soft clothes and lying in a manger." Now, suddenly, there appeared a host of angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth and peace, goodwill toward all men." Now the shepherds were filled with wonder and urged one another, "Let us hurry to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." They searched until they found Mary and Joseph behind one of the inns in the stable. And exactly as foretold, there was the baby lying in a manger wrapped in soft woolen cloth. The shepherds were very simple rustic folk, but as they gazed at the tiny infant, they knew instinctively that there was something wondrous about him. Swami tells us that on seeing the child, one shepherd remarked, "This child loves God." Another said, "No, brother, God loves him." The third reflected, "The child is God himself." These utterances of the shepherds correspond to the three statements Jesus made at three different stages of his life. First, he called himself a messenger of God. Then he said, "I am the Son of God." And finally he declared, "I and my Father are one." Swami explains that loving God makes you a messenger of God. God loving you makes you the Son of God. And the harmony of both results in the realization of "I and my Father are one." All human beings are messengers of God. What gives one the right to be called the Son of God? We have to have the same qualities of God to be called His children, is it not? There cannot be an iota of selfishness in us. We should be pure and full of selfless love. The three statements of Jesus also correspond to the three stages of spiritual sadhana mentioned in Sanatana Dharma, that is Dvaita, Advaita, Dvaita, Vishishta Dvaita and Advaita. Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Rama, portrayed these three stages when he said, "O Lord, when I think of you myself, when I think of myself as the body, I am your servant. When I think of myself as the mind, I am your devotee. But when I think of myself as the Atma, you and I are one." Islam too has explained these three stages in the statements, "I am in the light is in me, and I am the light." Now, coming back to the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, now came the three kings, or rather, wise men from the East. They were actually astrologers. Some historians say they might have been Zoroastrians from Persia. These astrologers saw a shining ball of light in the sky where there had been none before. "What is this bright new star?" they wondered. They mounted their camels and followed the new star until they reached the land of Judea. Here they inquired, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have followed his star from east so that we may worship him." Then they traveled onwards till they reached the city of Bethlehem. The wise men referred to Jesus as the king of Israel. However, Jesus was not a king in the ordinary sense. He was the kingdom of Father, the kingdom of the Atma. The light of this huge star appeared to be centered over the stable where Jesus was born. Swami said it was not actually a star, but a huge aura of light illuminating the sky. This meant that he who was to overcome the darkness of evil and ignorance had taken birth and would spread the light of love and wisdom in the hearts of humanity. Signs such as these are natural when prophets and avatars incarnate, for they come in answer to man's prayers. Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya. The wise men worshipped the child, offering him the gifts they had brought. That is, a little casket of gold coins, a carved box containing fragrant powdered incense, and a tiny jar of oil for anointing the skin. Gold symbolizes that which is pure and precious. Swami often used to call his students and devotees Bangaru, which means gold. On one occasion, he told the students, "You are 14 carat gold. You must become 24 carat gold." Incense symbolizes spreading the fragrance of goodness and love. Oil is known to be bitter, but it is also fragrant. Jesus rose above both pain and pleasure. He followed the words of Father. All are one, my dear son. All are one, my dear son. Be alike to everyone. Jesus not only brought joy to the world, he showed man the path to joy. In the word joy, the letter J stands for Jesus, or God, who should be one's first priority. The second letter O stands for others, who should come next. And the last letter Y, J-O-Y, the letter Y, stands for yourself, who should come after that. This is the path to joy. This is what Swami had said. Mary, the mother of Jesus, represents the heart, and Jesus represents the joy and bliss that arises in the heart. That is why Mary is pictured with the child Jesus in her lap. So the real celebration of Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Christ in our heart. That is to say, the birth of selfless love, peace and joy. Jesus sacrificed everything for the sake of compassion, righteousness and peace. So his birthday has to be marked by the practice of all, at least one of the ideas that he held so dear. Like all prophets and avatars, he incarnated to remind man that the kingdom of God is within him. Before Jesus merged in the supreme principle of divinity, he told his followers, "He who sent me will come again." And he pointed to a lamb. A lamb is merely a symbol of love, and it stands for the sound ba ba. While narrating this incident, Swami smiled and said, "That ba ba is this Baba." Jesus further revealed, "His name will be Truth. He will wear a blood red robe. He will be short and will have crown upon crown of hair." Christmas has celebrated in Prashant Nilayam, the abode of the Father, is unique, for it is only here that one witnesses people of all faiths and from all countries converging at his lotus feet in a spirit of divinity unity. So, dear listeners, that was an article from our website, radioside.org, which is named A Sai Christmas, and I thought I would read it for you because this is the month of Christmas, and in another 5 days, that is on 25th of this month, we are celebrating the festival of Christmas, the advent of Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's come back to the main menu of today's soul inspiration segment, and right now I'll be playing for you a carol, Christmas carol sung by Swami students in Sai Granth Hall, and that will be followed by an episode of Golden History, a video series, audio of an episode of the video series, and that will be followed by a bhajan. And at 11:30, you will listen to the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is Outside Inside, Deep Inside. So again, I thank Swami for giving me this opportunity to host this segment, and I sign off for today, and I'll meet you again next Thursday at 11 a.m. And till 11:30, let's listen to the segment Soul Inspirations.
The moment has arrived, the moment of truth. What the blind king and his wayward son decide today is going to decide the future. Peace is inevitable. But will it arrive to the joyful welcome of all? Or will it crawl over the dead bodies into the empty homes as a numbing silence? Will the pull of Mamakara be stronger than the voice of wisdom? In a few moments from now, Krishna is going to arrive at the royal court of Hastinapura to make his final bid for peace. Let us go and seat ourselves in the front rows to listen to what is going to happen.
Hastinapur Samrat Maharaj Dhritarashtra, Ganga Putra Bhishma, Mahamantri Vidur aur Acharya Dron Padhar Rahe Hain. Dwarkadhish, Yadukul Bhushan, Madhusudan, Shantidut, Vasudev Shri Krishna, Padhar Rahe Hain.
O great king of Hastinapur, accept the salutations of this emissary of peace.
O Madhusudana, please honor me and glorify this assembly by accepting a seat.
Pranam Pitamaha.
O messenger of peace, Sri Krishna, what proposal have my beloved Pandava sent forth?
O great monarch of Bharat and the great men assembled here, I have come here on my own accord as a messenger of peace and a guardian of Dharma. And I assure you, that which is acceptable to me will be agreeable to the Pandavas as well. Peace, O Maharaj, is not a debatable issue. Just the assurance of victory in the case of war should not blind us to the miseries and tears that are an inevitable part of it. The talents of death and destruction shall shred both the sides. With this broader perspective comes a responsibility of righteousness, justice and peace to this illustrious assembly. O great king, you belong to the lineage of truth and tradition. Time beckons you now to take a decision. Lead the Kuru race upon the path of peace, for therein alone is the good of this great land. History will not hold cunning Shakuni responsible for the game of dice, nor will it debate upon the despicable act of Suyodhana insulting Draupadi, for they happened in your court, Maharaj. Now again it is your call, O King. Make no mistake this time.
Vasudeva, perhaps no one desires the war.
If no one desires a war, respected grandsire, then why words like perhaps? Words like perhaps are too feeble to voice for Shanti. O Maharaj, if the Kauravas and Pandavas come together under one banner, there will be limitless glory. And man will never know where paradise ends and earth begins. You will be the noblest of monarchs whose magnificence will be sung in eons to come. But heavens forbid, if you choose war, who knows upon how many corpses you will have to weep. Make peace, O great king, by returning Indraprastha to the Pandavas.
Why Indraprastha alone, Keshava? Take Hastinapura as well. Long have they roamed the forest. We will press their tired feet.
Suyodhana, abdicate the throne. Go, kneel in their presence and kiss the hem of Dharmaja's robe. And let history term you as one of unparalleled magnanimity.
Stop it, Mamashri. Krishna, this peace proposal is not acceptable to me.
My son, bathe not your thinking with fleeting emotions. Abhor greed and leave your petty pride. Before you dispose the proposal as an unworthy end, weigh it in terms of greater good
Beware of the righteous indignation of Dharmaja, the fearsome rage of Bhima, and the unparalleled skill of Arjuna. Meeting them in war is utterly foolish.
Let not the voice of your conscience go unheard, my son. Let not death and desolation ravage your clan. Let your people wield plows and not swords. Let the sun smile on the green fields and the kingdom rise in peace and prosperity.
Sip these words of wisdom, Suyodhana, and be at peace.
Is this my kingdom and my own royal hall? All around me, I see my own people conspiring against me.
Speak not such words, my son. They are your elders and well-wishers.
My heart swells with pride to see a plethora of well-wishers. Well-wishers who adore my enemies.
Oh, wise men, let me clarify. Dharmaja participated in the game of dice on his own volition. As per the will of destiny, he lost the game and went into exile. Had we lost the game, we too would have vanished into the depths of anonymity and not come clamoring like this.
Were there any chances of you losing the game? Everyone seated here knows how fair the game of dice was.
Krishna, what madness is it to break the kingdom into pieces to honor foolish rites? Not just the 5 Pandavas, the 100 of us. Bhishma, Vidura, and even sage Vyasa have their legitimate share over this kingdom. Would it then be advisable to divide the kingdom into individual legitimate shares, ignoring the interests of my subjects? Their well-being is my utmost concern.
Rare are the kings like you, Suyodhana, whose ears are open to the woes of their subjects, but deaf to the voice of their own conscience.
Anyway, if you cannot give back the Pandavas their kingdom, then at least part with 5 villages. Avistal, Varkastal, Makandi, Varnavat, and any other village of your choice.
Krishna, you are asking me to give those villages which I have gifted to my relatives and friends. Is it possible? Is this the way you make a proposal? And now you will taint me as an emperor who could not part with even 5 villages. 5 villages? Tell them, even a speck of land that is needed to place the tip of a needle shall not be given to them.
Mistake not their silence for submission and their humility for meekness, O Suyodhana. The wise seldom speak, but when they speak, time itself would stop to hear their words. The powerful are always humble, but once they are enraged, the heavens themselves would shudder.
Krishna, have you come on a peace mission? Or are you trying to terrorize us? The Pandavas will be scattered like a herd of frightened deer when I shall romp like a bloodthirsty tiger amongst them.
Boast not of your valor, O Karna. The world has not yet forgotten how you heaved into unconsciousness at the face of Arjuna's arrows in the war against Virata.
Tell your dear friend that gruesome would be the sight to watch poor Dushasana's blood dripping from Panchali's tresses. What a pity it would be to see Emperor Suyodhana mourning helplessly on the battlefield with his thighs shattered by Bhima's mace.
Hear, O Ahankari Duryodhana, if you pursue this path of greed, even Gandhari will not have enough tears to wet your corpse.
How dare you speak of my mother's tears? Saved art thou that you are a messenger of peace. Otherwise...
Otherwise? What would you do?
I would rip your tongue and make you my prisoner.
Can you?
Try and bind me, if you can.
Gods arrest him. Guards, he's up there. He's over there too.
Know that you can capture me only through love. For I am not the body. I am the one residing in every atom of this universe. Every atom embodies me. Seeing me everywhere at all times is the true Vishwarupa Darshan.
To be touched and yet not be moved. To be moved and yet not understand. To understand yet not experience. To experience yet not transform. There cannot be a greater folly than this. The blind king committed this folly too. Standing face to face with his own self, he wasn't able to see, understand, experience and transform.
7,000 years have passed and we find ourselves in a similar situation. We stand face to face with the cosmic reality.
We have a choice to continue to be blind or to open our inner eye and behold the cosmic reality that manifests itself in every form. Let not this opportunity go waste.
O Lord, O Vasudeva, O Sai Deva, we are ready. Please open our eyes so that we can see, experience and transform ourselves into Thee.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.